We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Say whatever you want about all the football stats and all the fantasy.
Paul Charchian.
He's a fantasy football genius, okay?
CEO of GuillotineLeagues.com.
Hey, fantasy world, yours truly. You want to talk a little more fantasy football?
It's just a fantasy. Oh, it's not a real thing.
I think it's pretty easy to keep my fantasy football life away from my real life.
Taking your fantasy questions every week.
You know, if you're one of those people like, hey, I got you on my fantasy football team, because I don't care about your fantasy football team. But your fantasy football team probably sucks.
Paul Charchian with Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Where the top of the hour is brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Paul Charchian, CEO of GuillotineLeagues.com, joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And we got breaking news, Charch. David Montgomery. We know David Montgomery is out. Damian Williams looked pretty good last week at about 5 yards per carry. Bears just placed him, though, on the COVID list. So it's probably So it's Khalil Herbert's season.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
And here comes Ryan Nall.
It's just a close contact. Maybe if it's just close contact, he could get the two negatives in before the game, which is possible. But if he's got it, he's out for sure at this point. So, man, that is breaking news. And Khalil Herbert available, and I'm guessing, you know, finger in the wind here, probably 50% of leagues, and he becomes a very intriguing starter against Green Bay. So, yeah, I thought Herbert ran well. I like that kid's burst. I liked him in the preseason. In fact, we talked about him a little bit in the back in the early parts of the season. I thought he'd look good in preseason work, and I liked the burst that we saw. And they trusted him enough to give him half the work last week as a rookie. I thought that was a great sign. So I don't doubt that he could carry a big part of the load in this game, and I like that kid. That becomes very intriguing news.
So how bad? I know you said on Twitter that you didn't love the Darnell Mooney thought, and the Packers rush defense is bad. How bad is the Packers defense for Bears players on Sunday?
Well, so as you correctly identify, no Jair Alexander does open things up, but I want to highlight this rookie cornerback that the Packers have named Eric Stokes.
Yep.
His whole deal, in addition, he's pretty good, by the way. I mean, you know, right now, the passer rating against him is 68. He's only given up about 40 yards per game as I look at his stats here in his coverage. His deal is speed. And so much what Darnell Mooney does to get open is speed. Dude's really fast. And I think Stokes matches up with him well. Stokes hasn't traveled with receivers much this year, but he could travel with Mooney to negate that speed-on-speed matchup. And then they take their chances with Allen Robinson, who's been the forgotten man in this offense. And I think it might play out that way, and that might limit Mooney a little bit.
We just saw a nugget about Allen Robinson. And when I say we, I mean Shane Reardon just saw that Allen Robinson is the number one most traded player in CBS fantasy leagues, which is kind of fascinating. So think along with me, Charch. Is that because he's been disappointing in terms of production, but there's people who think he's going to blow up now that Fields is in there full time?
Both, right? I mean, the production has been mysteriously bad, but you could make a good case that says as Justin Fields gets better, and maybe they'll let him pass more than 19 times a game. You know that it should open the opportunity should open up down the line, and you'd hope that would be the case. And I think it probably plays out that way. I like this as a buy low moment on a player we all know is great. Allen Robinson is an elite receiving talent who's been grossly underutilized. And I would be on the buying side of this because I love buying low on talented players, and that's what you're getting out of him. Hey, speaking about grossly underutilized, how about your and Justin Fields? K Can we run him more than twice a game? He's averaging 2 designed runs per game in his starts, and that's absurd.
It is absurd. I think it will happen. Their tackles are bad. Their running game, their traditional running game has been pretty good the last couple of weeks. But yes, we have been talking about it. It makes no sense that he's not running.
Some of us are not convinced that he's a really comfortable runner like Russell Wilson or other young quarterbacks we have seen be given that to do. But we'll see. I think it probably will happen. Hey, let's look at this game tonight real quick here, Charge. With Tampa Bay against Philly, everybody on Tampa Bay playable? Everybody that's going, somebody you should have in your lineup?
Yeah, with a couple of exceptions. Cam Brate starts in place of Gronk, and Brate has done nothing to this point, so he feels like a dicey start, and Ronald Jones is dead to us. He's averaging 5 carries per game, and for the first time ever, we can actually count on a Tampa Bay running back. You know, for the entirety of the Bruce Arians reign of terror in Tampa for fantasy owners, you never knew which running back you could count on. And God forbid, if you actually said something good about a running back, you would know to go the opposite direction, because Bruce Arians is a bald-faced liar. And he'd go into a week and he'd be like, oh, Ronald Jones had a great week of practice. We really want to get him the ball more. And then he'd get like 3 carries and Leonard Fournette would get the ball all the time, or vice versa. But now just the numbers tell you exactly where they are. Fournette averaging 15 touches per game, and that is enough to be fantasy relevant pretty much every single week. The last 2 weeks, Fournette's had 250 total yards, and the Eagles just got mowed down by Chuba Hubbard. So I like Leonard Fournette as well, and I think we're getting to a point now where you can just start Fournette every week, which is great.
In the Panthers-Vikings game, there are running back questions all over the place. How are you coming out on that matchup?
All right, so what we believe we know right now is that Dalvin Cook's going to play in this game. Probably could have played last week, but I think the consensus thinking among the Vikings, reasonably so, is that they could beat the Lions without him. Barely did, and it turned out maybe they did need him. So, and he's gotten in legitimate practices the last two days. So Cook almost certainly goes here. Carolina's been a great run defense, but only one running back has had more than 10 carries against the Panthers, and that was Ezekiel Elliott, and he blew through him for 143 yards. So I like Cook in this game, and Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen have ankle and foot injuries, so they may lean on Cook pretty heavily. Christian McCaffrey is just doing very light work, and it looks increasingly like he will not play in this game. We're expecting Chuba Hubbard to go, and the Vikings' run defense is in a bad spot. They've been middling all season, but they're without their interior defensive lineman, Michael Pierce, who's sort of their designated run stuffer, and they've been run through the past couple of games without him.
Charge, are we to believe in that breakout by the Colts? Carson Wentz over 400 yards, Jonathan Taylor the huge day, Michael Pittman looked great as a wideout. What do you make of it?
I'm buying Colts right now. They had the toughest overall schedule to start the season through 5 games, and now it's going to flip, and this schedule gets very easy, particularly against the run, where the Colts have the easiest remaining schedule. And if you want a way to possibly get a piece of that, because Jonathan Taylor's taken, Nyheim Hines already gone, Marlon Mack is a pretty sneaky pickup right now, as both just a handcuff to Jonathan Taylor, but also because Mack said he wants to be traded and he's looked good, and maybe he gets traded somewhere to some team that's got an injury at the running back position and he could find himself as a starter. But even if he doesn't, as just a rotational guy or a handcuff, Marlon Mack might be a sneaky play. And I do like the Colts going forward. Quentin Nelson coming back healthy. It feels like this team's going to get better.
Paul Ciarci and GuillotineLeagues.com is our guest. How much have you downgraded across the board Chiefs offensive players?
Well, none, really. I mean, it's their defense that's killing that team. Can I give you some of the defensive stats on Kansas City? Because it's absurd how bad these guys are.
Please, yes, absolutely. And I mean, I'm here. I understand what you're talking about. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire out, 6 interceptions already for Mahomes so far this year. So what they have, their offense looked a little off against Buffalo, only putting up 20 points last week. So I thought maybe there had been a downgrade there. But yes, their defense is historically incompetent.
It's historically incompetent right now. And really, just point orgy coming. Washington's defense has been shockingly bad. I thought Washington was going to have a top five defense for sure. And it turns out they're like bottom two. So the two worst defenses facing each other. But here's Kansas City, just because it's so catastrophically bad in all parts of the game. They're dead last in points allowed. They're 31st in yards allowed. They're 29th in passing yards allowed, 29th in rushing yards allowed. They're dead last in quarterback rushing allowed in yards, dead last in quarterback rushing touchdowns allowed, dead last in first downs allowed. Cornerbacks are a disaster, and they have the worst starting safety in the league in Daniel Sorensen. And it is there's no parts of this that look like they're going to get any better for the Chiefs. Taylor Heinicke, elite, sleek, sneaky play this week. And if you need to go deep in a bye week, Adam Humphries is a startable commodity, because outside of him and Terry McLaurin, there's nobody else healthy to catch a pass against this terrible defense. Logan Thomas on IR, Curtis Samuel re-injured himself again. Dyami Brown's got a knee injury. So Adam Humphries is my favorite sneaky wide receiver play this week.
Charge, Lamar Jackson is unbelievable. The most fun to watch of just about any athlete in sports. But if you've got a running back for the Ravens, you're in hell. It used to be that whoever they put there, and sometimes multiple guys, was going to give you production. Now nobody is. What do you do in that backfield with Latavius Murray, Tyson Williams, and others?
Yeah, well, I mean, the only guy to hold right now is Murray. You can just drop everybody else. Although I thought Tyson Williams looked pretty good when they were playing him early in the year, but they're not anymore. His pass blocking's not up to snuff, and Murray's the guy. Now, oddly enough, this is the time when you actually might be able to play him, because it's the Chargers, a very good pass defense, and the league's worst run defense, giving up 5.5 yards per carry, 136 rushing yards per game. This is the one time when you feel like you can start Latavius Murray, because he's the lead back in an offense that ought to be able to capitalize on that. And if not now, then why are you even carrying Latavius Murray? So I give him the start this week, and everybody else we're just going to drop outright.
What about the Seattle receivers in Lockett and Metcalf flying across the country against the great Steelers defense, now with Geno Smith throwing them the ball?
So we don't really know what we have in Geno Smith at this point. We know 7 years ago he was a disaster who was throwing twice as many interceptions as he was touchdowns. But that was a long time ago, and you'd like to think that just sitting as a backup and getting practice and reps for 7 years, that he's gotten at least a little bit better. And what we saw of him in that third of a game he played last week was actually kind of promising. Thought he, you know, looked pretty good for most of that game. But what we do know for sure is there's no way Geno Smith is going to be heaving those same beautiful rainbow pinpoint bombs that Russell Wilson was sending to DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. And that's much of what got those guys fed and gave them the big fantasy performances. And Geno Smith's definitely not that guy. I don't care how much time has passed. He's not that guy. They're going to throw less. They're going to throw downfield less. And I think we're going to – and Metcalf and Lockett stop being – every week starters, and now you got to play the matchups a fair amount on them. And so they drop. It's not an impossible scenario. Steelers are an elite run defense. They're just a middle of the pack pass defense, but they drop down to being wide receiver 21 and wide receiver 30 respectively this week.
Wow. Paul Charchian over at guillotineleagues.com.
Charch, Devontae Adams is the only guy that's targeted among those wide receivers. Then it's a running back. Then it is a tight end. It's crazy. And Jalen Johnson is gonna shadow him. Is there any other wide out that you would play against the Bears of that Packers bunch?
So do we know Johnson's going to shadow? Because he normally does not.
He's wants
like
to.
95% of his snaps have been on one side of the field. And he said he wants to. And I'd let him. Because your alternative is Kendall Vildor. And that's not – Kendall Vildor and Devontae Adams is an automatic L for your team. So I think they need to break that up and go ahead and let that happen. Then you could flip to the other side of the field or go with Randall Cobb in a good matchup out of the slot. You could try Alan Lazard. MVS is still on injured reserve. So Alan Lazard is the play if you want to try to take advantage of Kendall Vildor. And, well, who doesn't?
Yeah, exactly. We were talking earlier I'm like many people obsessed with the Chargers and Brandon Staley and Justin Herbert and have a Super Bowl future on them from before the year. And my guy Mike Williams is emerging into a legitimate star now that he has a legitimate quarterback. Where are their offensive guys ranked in a very easy matchup, you would think, against the Giants?
Well, Mike Williams, they've got Baltimore this week.
Oh, my bad. I was looking at the Rams like a
that's okay.
Like yeah, well, an idiot.
Yeah, right. Other LA. That's exactly the kind of thing I would do, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, my bad.
But it's still fundamentally a positive matchup. Ravens are generally, you know, like the 10-ish ranked pass defense, but still, Mike Williams is just such a freaking beast, and he's got a 4-inch height advantage over any corner that they decide to put on him. And if you look, Michael Pittman last week against those Ravens was just too physical for those cornerbacks, and I think it's going to be the same thing here, and it's why I still like Mike Williams. He's my number 15 ranked wide receiver. I like Keenan Allen in this matchup in the slot. He goes up against Tavon Young, who's giving up an 81% completion rate and a 102 passer rating in his coverage. So if I like the receivers, obviously that also means I like Justin Herbert. And Herbert, last week I was nervous about that game against a very good Cleveland defense, and he just dissected them. I mean, Herbert is so freaking good that this offense is going to be great for a very long time.
Devontae Smith tonight, is that a play for the Eagles against Tampa Bay with their lack of corners who are healthy?
I love this, and I think Hurts puts it all together into the best game of his young career. I think it's his 10th start. So here's what's great about tonight's game for the Eagles. Normally, everybody who plays the Bucs, every team that plays the Bucs, they spend the first third of the game just screwing around with the running game. That's never going to work. They try running. It doesn't work. They try to establish the run a little more. It doesn't work. Then they just give it up, and then they just pass for the rest of the game. And Tampa's seeing 45 passes per game, which is by far the league most. But the Eagles don't even have a pretense of running the game. Running backs are averaging 8 carries, all of them together, averaging 8 carries over the last 3 weeks. So they're not even going to have a pretense of running. They're just going to pass. And why not? Tampa's without 3 starters in their secondary. Winfield, Carlton Davis, Sean Murphy Bunting, all out. And their spy linebacker, Levante David, is out, which is going to trigger running lanes and running opportunities for Hurts. Hurts, I think, is going to put this thing together. And Devonta Smith, who has looked so natural and just he looks like he belongs. This could be the breakout game for him. They throw to him long a couple of times every game. Sometimes they connect, sometimes they don't. But I just don't think the Bucs have got the secondary left to guard him. And he's going to have some wide open opportunities. And Hurts is going to connect on him. And I think the Eagles are going to be way more competitive in this game than most people think. And I think Hurts has his first real, like nationally televised breakout game. It could be right here tonight.
Church, I still haven't spent a single waiver dollar in this league. I put in bids and I don't win. I have no idea how much money to spend, and I keep surviving in your guillotine league.
Well, if you can survive without spending, you're going to control the board when amazing teams are getting cut. And that's, I mean, I don't know if it's just through sheer neglect on your part, if you just don't care enough, or you know what your deal is.
I put in bids.
At some point, you might want to spend.
I get outbid. I still have all my waiver dollars, but I'm enjoying it. People should check it out. It's guillotineleagues.com. We'll talk next week, Charge.
Thanks, guys. Had a lot of fun. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Charge.
Thank you. Guillotineleagues.com. That's tough news with Damian Williams going on that COVID list. Hopefully it's close contact, like he said, and he can still play. We do not have that detail yet.
Man, still waiting on really anything in terms of Tariq Cohen. So we're nowhere on that. Ryan Nall activated from the practice squad or flexed from the practice squad last week. I would assume he's going to get flexed back again because you can't really go in with just one tailback.
No, you're going to need more than one. It's a position that often gets injured. And yes, I would think that that also would lead to a little bit more Justin Fields running. You'll need some form of running the football, right?
Yep.
You would think that he would be involved in that spot. Man. Cordarrelle Patterson would look good on this Bears team based on what he's done in Atlanta. That would be nice.
It's true, but
he used to be here.
I was ready for the end of the Cordarrelle Patterson experience. I really was.
I know, but he's killing it.
I know, but like nobody, I mean, Belichick sort of knew how to use him for a while there, and then we thought that we were going to be the ones that really knew how to use him, and they leaned on him too much in some odd ways. I know he's killing it. Is he killing it from the backfield as a runner or more so as a pass catcher?
He's averaging over 4 yards a carry with a touchdown. So he's averaging about 35 rushing yards per game and 59 receiving yards per game with 5 touchdowns in 5 games.
Yeah, touchdowns are good.
Touchdowns are, I mean, that's, what is that, 95 yards of offense? 95 yards of offense and a touchdown per game?
That'll work.
That's pretty good. Plus what he gives you on special teams?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
that'll play.
That's pretty damn impressive. An expected managerial decision locally, an unexpected one outside of the market, both explained in interesting ways. Next on the Score.
Every year, since I had some security, and I understood the importance. You know, if you have a contract, and I always waited so the ownership of the front office said, we want you back. If they didn't, I just walked away. But once you got theirs, but if you fool them and the players don't want you, then you walk away. So I always do. And once it gets those two, if those two are true or not, check and see. Then you check and see whether you're, you know, you got the desire to continue to manage. So I do. So, but that's, I've been doing it for years. I mean, a lot of people that know me know that that's what I go through. I think it's a fair thing. It's, you know, it's fair to the ownership, fair to the players. You don't get stuck with a guy that doesn't belong there.
Inspiring stuff. That is returning White Sox manager Tony La Russa. No surprise there. Bob Nightingale reporting the leak.
Breaking White Sox news. Tony La Russa decides to step down as White Sox manager. Keep it right here for all the details of this developing story.
That's the opposite.
We're prepared. We're prepared, though, just for whenever it may or may not happen. Bottom
not
of the hour brought
Sox
to you by
fans.
Duck Duck Goo. What was that?
Not good, Sox fans. Duck, duck, goo, did
is that
you
what
say?
He said, right?
Duck, duck, goo.
Is that what he said? I thought I heard that. That I talked over that.
Stuff is delicious.
Duck, duck, goo.
Yeah, it's great. Spread it on everything.
Is that what he said?
That is what he said.
Yeah.
It is what he said. Duck, duck, go.
Yeah, Tony not going anywhere. He did a
is
little.
Is he gooing anywhere?
He's not gooing. He's not duck, duck, gooing anywhere. He did a little dog and pony shoe.
That was good. He's proud of that one. Laughing at himself.
I always ask the players. I always ask ownership. And they always say, yes, please come back. Because why would anybody say no?
Because their vote doesn't matter.
I think you should go away.
We should go to the tape. We have lots of good sound we want to hear on this stuff.
Tim goo. Anderson on Tony La Russa's impact. Goo.
Yeah, you know, huge impact. You know, everybody thought we wasn't going to get along. But, you know, overall, we was talking behind the scenes the whole time. And, you know, just for him to, you know, the players come first and, you know, he makes that known, we're one big family. But I think he did a great job, you know, coming in and, you know, being a part of what we, you know, been trying to do. And, you know, I couldn't be more happy than what, you know, what he did. You know, the relationship was great. Overall with the players, everybody was just getting along with him. You know, I think he came in and did what he's supposed to do. And, you know, hopefully he could, you know, step right back in and, you know, continue to push us next year and, you know, make these decisions that he did. I think he did a great job overall. And, you know, I was very pleased with, you know, how he handled it.
He pretty much stated that he won't come back unless ownership wants him back and the players want him back.
Yep.
I know you can only speak for yourself, but what would that vote be?
Yeah, for me, yeah, I want to be back, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, my decision don't really matter. So I guess it all depends on what the front office thinks. But, you know, for on my half, as far as, you know, speaking for player standpoint, yeah, for sure. I definitely want him in. I think he did a great job with, you know, the way he managed and, you know, just being open and you know, let us do what we wanted to do, you know. But, you know, when we took the field, we was going to go out and play hard for him and, you know, give him everything we got. So. I was very pleased with him.
Thanks again. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's the most important guy to win in that clubhouse. Him and Abreu.
Yep.
The most important guys. Yep. He's got them both.
So that was expected.
It's adorable. I think the TA thinks it's whatever the front office wants to do.
I think that is just a platitude, right? He's just saying a thing.
He might actually think that that is true.
Sure. It's possible. Yeah. I think... it's pretty well documented what's going on here. And so Jerry wants him back. Tony wants to be back. Thank you very much. We'll make it seem like it matters what anybody else thinks, perfunctory ways, but he's back. The surprise. So that's the not surprising one. The surprising one's happening in St. Louis, right? That Mike Shildt is out and they won 17 straight games. They made the playoffs. That news was breaking right as we were starting the show.
Mm-hmm.
So their GM, John Mozeliak, he had a press conference to try to explain it, and basically it was organizational differences. But this is, again, something that I respect and applaud. Like, hey, he's got a year left on his deal. We had success, but we have a disagreement, and we're going to be process-based over results-based. Let's listen to how he explained away the decision.
Can you describe the nature of the conversation you and Mike had? Was he shocked?
Not going to get into who I spoke with or exactly the details of how we got to this decision. I will characterize my conversation with Mike Schilt as, yes, he was very shocked.
Yes, he was very shocked.
I'm sure Schilt really appreciates you sharing that detail publicly. Yeah, I fired him. He didn't see it coming at all.
You should have seen his face. It was pretty great.
Yeah, John, quick follow-up about that. What was he all like? Oh, yeah, thanks. He was all like, what?
I'm not going to share who I talked to, but here's every single personal detail of the conversation I had with Mike.
Yeah.
But Mike, I won't tell you who.
Most people love getting fired. But it can be softened when they see it coming. Yeah. This was a painful firing. He didn't see it at all. He was blindsided. He was like, how am I going to tell my wife and kids? Mm.
Yeah,
we just put down first and last month's rent.
I'll tell you, I was a little surprised. He didn't seem pleased. He didn't seem pleased with the news. Didn't react well to it. Seemed a little shocked. I thought it would take it much better than that, frankly.
I guess my question is, if in regards to the term philosophical, can you explain what I'm missing here? Where if you're the boss of somebody and you have a philosophy, why can't you just tell him to do that philosophy? I know that's a very basic thing, but can you respond to that, Mo?
Sure. I could tell you to like jump out of your car right now, and you may choose not to. People can think on their own. People can make decisions on their own. And you know, a lot of this is about, you know, creating autonomy, but there are certain things that we would like to see done. And, you know, ultimately, really touching on more of Derek's point of the continuity of thinking, is it is evolving. It does change over time. But ultimately, we just felt we were at a place where we weren't going to have a meeting of the mind.
Gotcha.
Wow, that's really interesting. That's really interesting, like Pat Hughes says. But seriously, you know, all front offices hate managers. Even the ones they like,
yeah,
they hate them because they'll plot and plan things and agree on stuff. And then during the game, the front office is either in the stands or in a suite drinking or at home watching frustrated, and they're unable to do stuff. And the managers are in charge and they'll do stuff that drives you crazy. So I bet we'll get a window into what this is. Reporters will dig around. Whether it's bullpen philosophies, whether it is, defensive philosophies.
I mean, Schilt's going to be a pretty good anonymous source for some of these St. Louis reporters, because I don't know if you heard, he was shocked.
Passan did jump in and he asked the question, is like, is this strictly a baseball thing or is this maybe something else? Like, no, it's a baseball thing. And they asked, well, how did this evolve over time? And said, no, this is a recent thing that happened. So I'm wondering if it was like based on one decision that happened in the play-in game or something like that. But they said it was recent, which is really, you don't hear that often.
So we were going to keep him.
Wow.
We made the playoffs. We played great at the end of the season.
Yeah, which was it in your like 16-game winning streak or whatever?
Yeah, what was the problem in there? I don't know. Wainwright got pulled early in that game. Both Wainwright and Scherzer did get pulled early in that game. Is Mozeliak a guy who thinks, why do I want to lose a one-game playoff with my guy pulled, with the dude who's been the stud? So, I wonder if it's something recent like that.
I mean, that would be fairly remarkable.
Yeah,
firing a dude for a single in-game managerial decision with a year left on his contract.
Well, maybe it led to longer decisions because that bullpen sucked.
Yeah.
That bullpen sucked. They had like two guys who they trusted in that bullpen. So I could see that kind of conversation starting and turning into, why are you trusting guys who aren't good? That kind of thing.
Overall, even after hearing that and that answer, the first answer is very, very funny, but I still respect it. We don't agree on this. These jobs need to be aligned. Even though we had success with him, I don't believe we will continue to have success if someone who thinks that way is in charge of the game day decisions. That is a leader willing to make a unconventional, potentially unpopular decision. And so without knowing all of the details, I respect the boldness of it. Do you?
Yeah, absolutely. You're the boss. You're the guy in charge. You know, do the best you can, especially if you think there's something massive philosophically that's standing in the way.
Yeah.
Do it. Front offices should have that power after they have spent 5 years picking the groceries and they're trying to make the meal. And then, you know, a sous chef will come in and screw up one little detail that destroys everything.
Dave wants that we'll be in studio at 4 o'clock. He wouldn't let us drink last time. Ho, we're changing that this time. But, hey, you want to play a game?
Let's do it.
You guys want to play a game? Yeah, nodding.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I didn't think you were going to be excited,
Super
Tammy.
Super pumped.
What's the game?
We're going to play categories.
Who won the last two? Just to, like, to keep the listeners informed and stuff.
That was you.
Two-time defending champion.
That's right.
And we've played it two times, right?
Yep.
So all possible times that we've played, I've won it?
That's right.
All right, just want to keep the listeners informed.
So you want to play? Is what you're saying?
We can play categories if you want.
Yeah, right,
if you guys want to.
Yeah. We'll.
Oh, thank you so much.
I really appreciate the enthusiasm.
All right, we will try to dethrone Shane Reardon in his
it
game.
It can be done.
Categories next on The Score.
And now you're listening to Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Do you like games, little man? Let's play a game.
Oh, we're playing categories, and Dave Wanstedt shows up early. So, hey, Dave, you want to play a game with us?
I'm here. Let's work. I didn't come by here to BS with you guys. I came by here to work. Let's go.
Let's All go, right. Coach. The game is categories. I got three categories of different things that have come up on the show or thematically relevant to what we are doing and have been doing, and you guys are going to just try to guess as many as you can. We go around the room. You guess one, he guesses one, he guesses one, he guesses one. If somebody misses, they're out. We keep going until there's only one winner left for each category.
Okay.
Just that easy. You ready?
We're ready.
Okay. Glad
Which
coach
speaks,
is...
Phil Wanian on who's been winning categories the most.
Yeah. Shane has... We've played twice. Shane has won both times.
Okay.
All right, Wani, I know you're only paying...
Dave's going to add a fun element to this game.
Yeah, he's paying a vague amount of attention.
Is this open book?
No.
No.
Put your phone away.
Well, I'm just... I got 10 texts here. I'm trying to respond to people. Okay.
All right, well...
Texas?
Tell you what.
Texas.
This is a good category for you, Dave. Bears are playing the Packers.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
I have in front of me...
Two quarterbacks, Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers.
Category is... Don't answer yet, okay? Don't answer. I'll tell you when it's your turn. The category is Green Bay Packers who are in the NFL Hall of Fame. That's the category. Packers in the Hall of Fame. Danny Parkins, you can go first.
Brett Favre.
Brett Favre is correct. Shane Reardon, you can go second. Troubles?
I don't know many Packers, let alone football players in the Hall of Fame. Bart Starr.
Bart Starr is correct.
Nice.
Chris Tannehill.
Ray Nitschke
is correct. Dave Wanstead, I need a Packer who's in the Hall of Fame.
We'll keep it in that era. Paul Hornung.
Paul Hornung is correct.
Reggie White.
Is correct. Look at us rolling through categories. Shane, got another chance here.
Charles Woodson.
Charles Woodson is correct. Chris Tannehill.
Oh, man. Who is the guy that said he'd step on Doug Buffon, and if he had a chance to do it again, he would? Remember famously he said that recently. Oh, God, who said that? Yes. One of our favorite talk radio guests.
Paul Charchian.
Yes. No, I'm going with Charge. No.
Need a Packer Hall of Famer there, Tanny, and three.
Vince Lombardi.
Vince Lombardi is correct.
That was going to be mine.
Yeah, there you go.
That was going to be mine.
Need another one, Wani. Who you got?
That was mine, too. Did we say Brett Favre?
We did say Brett Favre.
I started off with him, huh? Okay. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to, this could be a little off, but I'm not. Gail Gillingham.
No, that is not a Hall of Famer. Wani is the first one out of the football category.
Okay.
I love it. Danny.
Do you guys know who Gail Gillingham is?
No, but another time.
We don't have time.
Love you.
Love your show.
Going to give you some instant replay. Go
Danny,
ahead.
Got any more Packers?
No.
Okay.
I mean, Mike Holmgren's not in.
Mike Holmgren is not in the Hall of Fame.
All right. Go ahead. I'll be surprised if either of these guys get another without cheating.
There's only one other like Packer from that era that I would even know, and I don't know if he's in the Hall of Fame. James Lofton.
James Lofton is in the Hall of Fame.
Right. You're right.
He cheated.
You think so?
How can I cheat?
I don't know.
I'm looking at you the entire damn time.
I don't know. I don't believe him.
No, it's an honor system here. I don't think he cheated. Tanny, you got one?
Well, let's go with Curly Lambeau.
Oh. Curly Lambeau.
Wait, you're asking the guys that are sitting in the information room and the windows are all steamed up in there. We can't tell what they're doing.
No, we trust our guys. Curly Lambeau.
The guy's name's on the stadium. I took a shot there, Coach.
Yeah, it's a good call. It's a good call. All right, you two are both alive.
Give
Shane,
Tanny,
you got
I'm out. I'm out.
But no, he's got to get one.
He just got one.
I know, but.
Shane said he's out, so can I go?
Yes.
Ooh, I almost said the wrong.
You have to name another one because I go before you. Otherwise,
correct.
We tie it.
Oh, okay. I almost said the wrong Sharp. Sterling Sharp?
Sterling Sharp is not in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, no.
I think we don't have a winner.
Yeah, no winner in that category.
No winner. Would have accepted
Ron
Wolf. Jerry Kramer is, I think, who you're talking
about. That's exactly who I'm thinking.
That's who I was thinking, Jerry Kramer.
I'll take credit for that one.
I said Dale Gillingham. Jerry Kramer has the book Instant Replay.
Jim Taylor, Don Hudson.
Don Hudson.
Yeah, right?
I can't believe I'm...
You guys did pretty well, though. I was impressed with that. All right, here we go. You want the sports or the non-sports?
Non-sports, please. Here
and real quick request from our Twitch mob.
Yes.
Stop putting things on there. Like, we're not looking, but now in the break, I'm looking, and this Benetti bot 9000 put every Packer that made the Hall of Fame in there in the message. Don't do that.
Don't do it.
Don't do that. Play along with us here.
But don't look down. Don't look down.
Don't look into it.
I'm closing the Twitch window, but I'm holding up.
Whatever you do,
we're
just stop doing that.
We talked about this yesterday. I think it was because... Aaron Rodgers talked about where he would go. Then we talked about the butter cake. The category is steakhouse chains.
Oh, nice.
Steakhouse chain restaurants came up yesterday. Dave Wanstead, you are first. National steakhouse chain restaurants.
National, huh? Capital Grill.
Capital Grill is correct.
Just go this way. I went first last time. Yeah. So I'm up now?
You're up.
All right. Ruth's Chris.
Ruth's Chris is correct.
Texas Roadhouse.
Texas Roadhouse is correct.
Morton's.
Morton's is, of course, correct. Morton's the steakhouse. Wani?
Tofano's.
It's got to be not Tofano. Come on.
Joey DeBono.
Yeah. It's got to be not like, I got to know all the ones in Chicago. I could give you 10.
They might be. They might be nationals.
No, Gin and Giorgetti's isn't national.
It ought to be.
It ought to be. Gibson's?
Gibson's is not a national steakhouse. Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. Thank you for playing, Coach. We love you. Danny?
Mastro's.
Mastro's is correct. Shane?
Wait, Mastro's is national?
It is.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Smith and Walensky.
Smith and Walensky is correct. Oh, Tanny.
Good one.
McCormick and Schmick's.
McCormick and... Well, yeah, I mean, it's not on my list, but it definitely is correct. Right?
Wait a second. Whoa!
It is. I mean, it's a steakhouse.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's known for seafood, get a good steak.
Yeah,
there,
no,
right?
I'm gonna go. I think you're in trouble here.
What? No.
It wasn't on the list of steakhouse.
Your list, so you just admit it was flawed. Not on that list, but.
I say no.
It's not a steakhouse.
It's not a steakhouse.
It's a seafood restaurant.
It's a seafood joint.
So what? Surf and Turf is not on their menu is one of their main things.
Not a place you can get steak, but it's not a steakhouse. No, Tanny, you're out. Danny.
Yeah, that's not true. I'm in.
He controls the music. Delmonico's?
Delmonico's.
No, not on Speaks' list.
Not on my list.
New York only.
Isn't
Delmonico's is New York only.
Yeah.
Yes.
Come on, dude.
Longhorn Steakhouse. Longhorn.
Dave, you're out. That was my next guess. Oh. You can't just be throwing steakhouses out there. Damn it.
Longhorn is correct.
I know it is.
In.
I know it is.
Tanny, you want one? I'll give it to you, Shane.
Lowry's?
Lowry's the prime rib. Damn right it's there.
What?
Danny, you got one?
No, I'm out.
Oh, yeah, you're out. Danny's out. Shane.
I'm technically the only one still in. The Palm.
The Palm is correct as a National Steakhouse
All
restaurant.
Right, Shane wins that category.
Like of course, if I didn't, it would be a problem.
Ditka's not a national chain. I would have accepted Del Frisco's.
There's got to be one in Arizona.
Oh, Del Frisco's is what I was thinking of. I said Del Monico's.
We used to hang out at Del Frisco's
awesome.
In Dallas.
Frisco. I'm like, Del Frisco.
Lemon Avenue, down here in Dallas, God. Texas.
How about the Ponderosa? Sizzler. You could have gone lowbrow, you know? Had options here.
All right.
Bonanza.
Can we do the third category? Should we do it later?
Whatever you want.
You
want
to do it later? We got time.
Dave's already here. Just do it now.
All right, fine. We'll do it right now.
All right, fine.
All right, here we go. White Sox postseason starting pitchers since the year 2000.
Oh, wow.
Men who have started a White Sox postseason game as a pitcher since the year 2000. Shane, you
John
can go
Garland.
First. John Garland is correct. Tanny.
Jose Contreras.
Is correct. Wani.
Wow.
Could be this week. You know.
Frank Thomas?
No.
I know Frank. Yeah. He's a friend. No, that.
Yeah, no.
Pitchers.
I need pitchers, though.
Maybe some 60.
Mark Burley.
Mark Burley is correct. Shane.
Dane Dunning.
Is correct.
Wow.
Tanny.
You guys are on it.
Freddie Garcia.
Freddie Garcia is correct. Danny.
I appreciate you guys taking the difficult ones. So I will jump to Lance Lynn.
Correct. Shane.
Dylan Cease.
Is correct. Tanny.
Lucas Giolito.
Correct. Danny.
Carlos Rodon.
Correct. Shane.
Jamie Navarro.
No.
Is incorrect. Shane is out.
Beat you.
Shut up.
Just letting you know.
I saw you looking down at your phone in that segment.
Tanny,
too.
I need one.
Jim Parquet.
Jim Parquet is absolutely correct. Danny, you got troubles here.
El Duque.
No. El Duque did not start.
Okay.
In that year. Tanny, I need one more from you. And you can lock it up.
2,000 White Sox. That's my rotation. Mike Soroka?
Mike Soroka is correct.
Wow. Parquet? Right. That's right. Pretty good.
Congratulations.
Parquet, that was hot. Parquet, Soroka, Javi Vasquez. We are missing James Baldwin, Baldwin, John Danks, Gavin Floyd, and Dallas Keuchel from last year. But there it is. Good job, everybody. So Shane got one. Tanny got one,
I got one, and we pushed one, Tanny and I.
I got two. McCormick and Schmitz.
Congratulations,
Del
the producers.
Frisco's is not Delmonico's.
Not Delmonico's.
God, I'm an idiot.
But you don't get credit for saying the wrong thing.
No, obviously. I just want you to know I was thinking Del Frisco.
I could have gone 10
Dale
deep, dude. Wamst- you were done anyway.
Hey, let me give you. Dale Wamstead is the founder of Del Frisco's.
Oh,
the
really?
Original. Okay, good friend.
Dale Wamstead?
Dale Wamstead.
Oh,
okay. W-A-M.
W-A-M.
Yeah.
Anyway, sounds like Wanstead.
He ran the original one, which was in Dallas, Texas.
Oh, that's a fun fact about Del Frisco's.
There you go.
We'll talk football and drink with Dave Wanstead next on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.